All right, Flyover family, I know it's one of your favorite segments, one of ours.
Oh, we love it.
For sure. We're going to break down the news through the lens of a professional producer. She's a producer of Fox News, Newsmax, Major League Baseball. And I tell you what, she has the best guess, the hardest hitting, punching, what's happening 2 weeks before everybody else is talking about it. And on her own show, the host of the Brown and Marillo Show, Ms. Brown and Marillo.
Yay!
Great introduction. Hello, David and Stacey. What a pleasure to be with you guys.
We're so honored to have you on the show.
I'm shocked.
Killing it.
I'm shocked she's still talking to us.
I know.
Little people. The little people. I want to jump in right out of the gate with your very first tweet. You had the one, the only, like, I don't know, a dozen Emmy Award winning from 60 Minutes, yeah. Brianna Morello.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, not Brianna Morello, Laura Logan. I got thrown off with
with Miss Laura Logan. Yeah, yes. She came on to talk about something that's really, really important, and which is the genocide that's happening right now in Nigeria amongst Christians. Christians are being slaughtered by Muslim terrorist organizations, and nobody wants to talk about it. And Laura Logan's been one of the very few people who's been doing a lot of honest and great reporting on the subject. And so it was amazing having her on. So many people were so happy to hear her talking about it, too, because a lot of people don't even realize that this is going on. And, you know, just recently this week, we saw another 700 children and women get abducted by another Muslim terrorist gang. And the corporate media, they're reporting that the kids and the women are missing, but they're not telling you who took them. And that's the big part of the story. And of course, because the corporate media doesn't want you to know that these are Muslims who are kidnapping Christians and killing them, sadly.
That is very, very sad. You know, to have also, obviously she came on your show, but then she retweeted out, you know, about it. You know, we've had a conversation with Laura, and she really respects you a lot. She follows what you do, and she really respects you. So I was really excited to see on your show. I mean, obviously it's a really sad subject that we have to get this information out there so more people are aware.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's the person who opened my eyes to it. She did a great report years ago for Fox on all of this. It was a great series where she kind of walked the audience through all of this. And so it's such an honor to have her on the show because she knows so much. You know, I joke with her and say, like, I'll never be a great journalist like you, because I think that she is like the top tier when it comes to journalism because she knows everything. She knows every piece of detail, and she's willing to go to the places that, like, I really wouldn't go to. Right. Like, cause I just, like, it's not my thing. It's I'm a little on edge and a little paranoid. But she's fearless, and she will go to all these places. And that's what's been so impressive.
You're exactly right.
So people can find that. Go to BriannaMorello.com. And it's on Rumble. It's on lots of platforms. But that is a great place to be able to check it out. Give her a follow. I mean, it's when it comes to, like, the thing, flying at 1,000 feet, exactly what's happening in the news cycle, Brianna's got it.
For sure. Yeah. I want to talk about, this is really disturbing, but four suspects were released after they allegedly dismembered human bodies and scattered their parts around Long Island. So why were they released after being charged? Well, New York Democrats ushered in criminal justice reform back in 2019. That's why. Okay, what is going on? And this is very disturbing.
Yeah, so it's finally starting to catch wind, this story. Four of these suspects were released after they literally, I mean, the images are just brutal. They just left, and sadly, children found these things. They were left in parks, but they left pieces of two adult bodies throughout Long Island parks. And the DA can't charge them with murder yet because he doesn't have enough evidence to prove that they actually killed these people. He could only prove the dismemberment part, which is fine. Like, I understand these things take time, and I'm okay with that. I know everyone's like, oh, just charge the governor of New York is like, you should charge him with murder, or you should charge him with something else. But the reality is, we don't want district attorneys charging suspects with crimes that they cannot prove. And I think that's a big, big issue. And so this DA was responsible, only charged him for these people what he could prove. And that is that they dismembered these parts and then spread them throughout the islands. And so what's going on here specifically, though, is criminal justice reform, which I refer to as a criminal bill of rights. It was passed into the state's budget back in 2019. And what happened there was just disgusting. New York Democrats pushed this through without actually looking at it. And they had a list of what they considered to be nonviolent crimes. And that crime is still to this day listed as nonviolent. Now, there's also a couple of other crimes which were egregious and were looked over after there was public outrage. But they considered possession of child pornography and manslaughter to be nonviolent crimes as well. This is New York Democrats, right? So it was egregious. It was disgusting. They passed it. And the governor doesn't want to admit that criminal justice reform didn't work. In fact, it's actually worse than what most Americans think, because it also it kind of bullies people from coming forward and reporting crimes, because now criminal justice reform. So now if you're the victim of a crime, let's say you're a woman who's sitting on the subway and a man gropes you and you want to file charges against him for that, that suspect now gets your phone number and your address. And that's because of criminal justice reform. Now, if you're wondering why this is possible, who would vote for this? It's because, well, they don't want you to file crimes, criminal charges against people, because they don't want to boost the statistics. They wanted criminal justice reform to look like it was actually working and reducing crime. And so they intimidated victims from coming forward to report crime. So when you talk about New York City and New York, their violence going up, their violent crimes, robbery, murder, sexual assaults, keep in mind it's significantly higher than what they're saying, because so many people do not want to come forward.
Okay, well, yeah, they don't want them to know where they live.
Here's how I can get Stacey to stop complaining I'm late all the time. I take all of her watches and break the clocks.
Right, exactly. Like, okay.
See? Yeah. I've not been late this week. You know, it makes that much sense, you know?
Aren't you glad you get out of New York?
Oh, so glad. That was actually the reason why I left New York. Once I read the legislation in 2018, I actually packed up, and this is the first time I quit Fox. I packed up, had a meeting with a couple executives who agreed that it was outrageous, the bill, but I left and they stuck it out. So I moved to Florida immediately.
Wow, I don't blame you.
It's tough. Well, here's another side of justice. You know, we look at the DOJ and the FBI. Break down for us. I'm not going to read this whole tweet put on the screen. Who's Isabel Brown?
No,
Isabel DeLuca. Who's Isabel DeLuca?
She's a social media influencer. She's a conservative social media influencer. She was there at the Capitol that day. But again, guys, it was a legal protest and people were allowed to be there. Now, there's images where the DOJ says that she went into the building. She crawled through a window. But from the images that they share, she popped her head in, popped her head out, and then left. But they ended up charging her with 4 misdemeanors just this week. Again, guys, if she was a threat to society, you wouldn't have to charge her. You wouldn't have waited this long. You would have gotten her quickly. But this is the DOJ. They're going after everyone to boost their stats on this whole situation, the domestic terrorist numbers. So I read through the statement of facts, as the DOJ calls it. The FBI agent who was assigned to Isabella wrote these facts. And in it, there was a couple of things that stood out to me. Number one, they're using speech against her. They're saying that based on her social media posts, that's the reason why they're saying that she committed these crimes, the crimes that they're accusing her of. They're using it against her. They also got subpoenas for her bank records and access from a warrant for her Twitter account so they could obtain information for her Twitter. So those are things that normally wouldn't take place for minor offenses, but it just goes to show that the DOJ is hell-bent on going after these people and making sure that they put them in prison. She was actually put, again, like Steve Baker, like I reported previously, in leg irons and handcuffs and was dragged off when she was arrested in California. So it's one of the many, many situations that are going on right now where J6ers, for no reason, for minor offenses, are being prosecuted.
Yep.
I mean, just alone for, if you look at the statement of facts, it literally alleges that she went in for a second and left. And then they also cite her social media post where she said that it was like crazy inside the Capitol. So I don't think Isabella did anything wrong. I think she was there for a rally and, you know, it got crazy. I mean, it got crazy. And I don't think people realize what they were doing that day. I don't think that they realized, based on the Summer of Love, the BLM riots, the Brett Kavanaugh riots, I don't think that they thought that this was anything different. And I think that's why so many Americans found themselves, you know, in areas that may or may have not been restricted. And so they also weren't clearly marked. So a lot of these people had no idea what they were doing.
Yep.
The question I would have too is, it sounds like they went to see her a week after that the FBI came to see her, but now, you know, we're this far from that. What's changed since then?
Yeah, I don't know. So the FBI has been doing this to a lot of people where when they initially, I think on the 9th, they got a tip, January 9th, they got a tip from somebody that she was in the building. And so it took them a while to get through it. Then they apparently did do a phone interview with her, which, yeah, gosh, if I knew back then, I would tell everyone, if the FBI calls you or comes to your door and asks for an interview, you shut that door as quick as possible. You do not speak to them. You're not setting the record straight. You're giving them ammunition to go after you later on. And so they included the notes from that discussion in there. And it just didn't have to happen. I mean, there's no reason for this. This is the FBI is literally getting pulled off of, like, Steve Friend tells you, sex crimes against children to go do this. And it's disgusting.
They access to her bank, subpoena, get her social media accounts. I don't know how many man hours. With the ultimate goal, if it's a big win for them, it helps their numbers, and it's just a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm also submitting – I just submitted a FOIA request too. So we're going to get to the bottom of this as to why the FBI is being more aggressive with these J6ers, what the protocol is for misdemeanor offenses, because they don't want to tell you straight up. But like I mentioned before with Steve Baker, when the U.S. Marshals were processing him, they called it bullshit. And that's exactly what they said. They said this does not happen under any of the circumstances. Yeah. And they thought it was a joke. But they still comply, which I think is disgusting. But they know what's happening, too. They're just all silent.
Flyover family, this doesn't happen by accident. The reason Brianna has the kind of freedom to do this is because she's 100% independent. And I mean independent. She's independent of producers at a place like Fox or CNN or any of those places. She's also independent of a payroll, you know, and because, you know, with money comes a leash. You know, in these environments, she has no leash, but, you know, we can help fund her and support there. Go to BriannaMarillo.com or I think there's a direct link.
Support Bree.
Bree. If like if she says, I submitted a FOIA request. That's not like an online form. It costs money to do that. I mean, there's attorneys and things involved in this process. She's doing this out of her own pocket. So go to supportbree.com and any little bit helps because she is out there doing this literally on a shoestring and getting more done than mainstream media on her own, working with her own stuff. So speaking of shackles and leg irons.
Yeah. Peter Navarro,
you put out the direct address. If people want to write a letter of encouragement or support or a prayer or anything, here's where they can send it. Is there any other instructions of how they would get that to him besides that? Any other tips?
Yeah. So a lot of the times, I mean, I did it as an experiment when Owen Schroer was in prison. I sent four letters and he only got two of them. So a lot of the times they don't get the letters. It's just because they just don't want to give them to them. So I would recommend everyone maybe sending multiple letters, dropping them in the mail, and just making sure that you include that information that's on your screen. So you want his first name, last name, his inmate number, which is the registration number, and then the address so that it is processed. I tried reaching out to the prison too. A lot of the times, when it's high profile Republicans who are processed in federal prison, they have a habit of putting them in solitary confinement. And so I reach out to the jail, to the prison to figure out what's going on, the Bureau of Prisons, and they have not responded. But I'm trying to figure out the status update of Peter Navarro to make sure that he's not being placed in solitary, because it's likely that they will put him in there.
Man. Wow. Birthdays are a big day. Everybody likes them. Some people regret them or they fudge on the numbers and things like this, but it's usually a day of celebration. It's like, oh, I had a birthday. Somebody turned 18 yesterday. And the left now thinks that's like free game.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, hey, this person's 18. We can now try to make their life miserable. This is interesting.
Now, this is interesting because the post is now no longer available. So tell about that. What happened here?
So this guy, he used to be a corporate media executive producer, I believe, Mike Singston. He is just notorious for going after Republicans and people on the right. And literally at 4:44 a.m. Pacific time, because he's in California, that's where his tweet location was when he posted this tweet, he tweeted out that Barron Trump is now 18 years old as of today, and now he's fair game, was the exact quote that he said there. That's disgusting, first it off. Is. Like, what are you, like, is that, like, meant to be sexual, or is that meant to be that you're going to go after him because now he's an adult? And Barron literally stays out of the limelight, like, literally all the time. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard him speak. So it just shows how sick they are. And a lot of people ganged up on him for being just such a, it came off as very pervy and creepy. So I think that's why he deleted it.
That's good.
Probably
that's
deleted good. It because it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People standing up. I like that.
But it was still out there. So his intent was heard.
All right, let's go to My Vote Counts. So you have move to a blue state, pray for low voter turnout, and crush the souls of liberals. That's the plan. Update, folks, my master plan worked. We just elected a Republican mayor in my city. This is great. Okay, so tell about this. Yeah.
See, this is the amazing part. So obviously Democrats have fixed their primary so that Joe Biden will be the nominee. Remember when they tell you that they're here to defend democracy? Well, they're not. They don't like democracy. Joe Biden, again, is their nominee and they're pushing him forward and you can't speak up against it. So what happened yesterday, what happened specifically was back in November, Florida Democrats just gave him the delegates without even having the primary. And so on election day this last Tuesday, we sat there and only Republicans really showed up because, well, we had something to be out in the polls for. You know, DeSantis was still on the ballot. Nikki Haley was still on the ballot for primaries. So everyone showed up. And so in cities like mine, which normally are very left-leaning, they made a very big mistake. And it happened all across Florida. People didn't show up because there wasn't a reason to show up because there was no primary. And, well, as a result of all of that, their state and local officials lost out big time because they didn't have voter turnout. And, you know, I was hoping for it. I was like, I know this is going to happen. Let me just bite my tongue and not say anything till election day so that they can't try to do anything to kind of, you know, make this. So now we are super, super red here in the state of Florida. And it's all because Democrats don't like democracy.
Man, that is so good. What a great plan.
Backfired on them big time. We're going to get to another Democrat backfire plan here in a minute ago. But you had a guest on this week. Man, Laura Logan is on and on. You got just incredible minds. But Tracy Beans.
David is like, she got Tracy Beans.
I'll just be honest. Yeah. I'm a little hurt. Because we've been trying to get her for like a year and a half, and it's not panned out.
I can hook it up.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you for your patronizing, condescending.
I can help you, David.
But I get Brianna's crumbs. Thank you. No offense to Tracy, but she is a researcher. She's a deep diver on things. And what I like is she just comes out swinging. Whenever I don't catch her podcast every day, but pretty regularly I'll catch it and she goes live. It'll pop up and I'll just put it on in the background. And like, she does kicks over the rocks, mm-hmm. looks at the bug, takes the bug, microscopes him, dissects him, pins him to some styrofoam. Like, she digs deep. And
she was talking about our own home state.
Yeah, she's digging into a little show me state here. So tell me what you learned.
So she's actually from my old area. We both left, obviously, but Long Island. And she is one of the best, like you mentioned, because she knows so much about this free speech lawsuit that's going on right now. It's Missouri versus Biden. Now, a lot of people in the media just didn't understand what this was about. And so that's why you go to people like Tracy Beans, because the corporate media was making it seem like the actual lawsuit itself was being played out in front of the Supreme Court, but it was actually a temporary injunction that was being played out. So it wasn't the full lawsuit. The full lawsuit is still pending. But ultimately, you know, you had Ketanji Jackson, the justice on the DEI hire for the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. who was really just saying that she's not a fan of free speech and that she thinks the government should be able to step in when there's something like a pandemic, of course, because the government knows better than the American people. And so she pretty much said, and it was just so jarring for so many people, that like you put the government in a bind when they can't step in and step on the free speech rights of Americans. And so we had her on to discuss it. She also interviewed another one of the states that's in on that lawsuit, which is Louisiana, their attorney general as well. Uh-huh. So we played a clip from that. But it's very insightful because no one else really understood what was playing out in front of the Supreme Court like Tracy. And so that's why it's important. Her website's Uncover DC. She actually mapped it out on her website specifically what was going on. It was the only website, honestly, that was informed and really just kind of taught me a bunch. And so it's really important to head over there.
And to watch that interview, you can go to the Brianna Murillo show on Rumble. So go to Rumble, go to the Brianna Murillo show, or you can find it by going to BriannaMurillo.com, and it'll take you to her Rumble.
And below this episode, we can put a link directly mm-hmm. to that episode and the Laura Logan one as well, because those are ones you're going to want to catch and see.
All right, let's talk about the word bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
Media loved that.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? So there was this great reel too of them, all of them just going after and saying the word bloodbath. And so I joked and said, you know, the corporate media talking points are just went out and it all is about bloodbath. Say that there's a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. Democrats have been using the word bloodbath forever. And it's like people who are getting upset and frustrated with it on air. It's just an act because honestly, if you go back to their clips, they've been using those terms forever.
Everybody especially when it applies to economic situations. Yes. Now, I don't think this is a flyover listener, but somebody out there did an interpretive dance, kind of a demonstration of exactly how this worked out for the Democrats on the term bloodbath. We got just a little image to play here.
It's pretty accurate.
That's what happened.
Well, and here's how it worked out, because there are Democrat leaders now that are saying, once everybody looked at this, and Trump's been good at this, he'll draw attention to something and there's a crazy news cycle. And then the dust settles and it's like, well, why are we in the NAFTA? The Democrat leaders, especially in manufacturing states, like Michigan, which is a swing state, are saying, actually, this is huge, and it will be a bloodbath if we lose all of these mm-hmm. jobs and this manufacturing. So they're for the 100% tariff. And that was the context of what this was about, is he says, we need to put a 100% tariff on every car manufactured through a Chinese built plant in Mexico before it comes into America. And there are not one or two, there's a wave of Democrats that are mm-hmm. like, we do need to put a 100% tariff on
especially in states like Michigan,
because they're answering to their base, and their base is like, yeah, hello, how about think about us for like 5 seconds, because our jobs are important too. So it not only did the bloodbath thing make them look bad, because they're like, you're just making something out of nothing, that was not the context, it's coming back to bite them a little bit economically as far as their own base.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it was so funny today. N Wokeness on Twitter actually posted something, and he actually must have screenshot the definition, the Google definition of bloodbath before, I believe it was on Sunday. And then today he went back to Google and screenshotted it again. And they actually changed the definition so that it could be applied to the out of text content that the mainstream media wants to use. And it just goes to show that literally Google is being manipulated. Yeah, Google is being manipulated by Democrats. There was also another report that came out, I believe it was MRC Newsbusters, who detailed specifically 41 instances when Google manipulated things and interfered in our elections for Democrats. They were always the beneficiary and all of it was always Democrats. So there's a common theme here. And like we mentioned last week, I'm really scared for that TikTok ban, because ultimately it's not that they care about the CCP surveilling Americans. They want to surveil Americans. They want to manipulate the content you see. And they don't like the fact that the CCP has that power and not them. And so they're trying to take that back. But this all brings it together. Again, bloodbaths. Exactly. There you go. Bloodbath, the definition has now changed on Google so that they could pretend like there's some legitimacy behind the corporate media spin on all of this, which is, again, beneficial to Democrats. And again, it's interfering in our elections.
That's exactly right.
Well, something about interference. I wish you would interfere in our dinners.
Yes. Can we just have you come here with us all the time? Because this next tweet, this picture, like I'm just looking at it right now and my mouth is watering. This is amazing. And now we have the truffle, the oil that we can put on this.
Just finished making stuffed rib roast with truffled mashed potatoes.
Oh my
gosh. Sounded like something you'd hear like Louis the 14th saying, I just finished a stuffed rib roast baked beast with truffled mashed potatoes. I don't know, that's how he sounded. But it sounds very Thurston Howell the III kind of pretentious. And you know, I'm quite envious.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's easy to make. It's really not difficult. I actually got a couple of people asking me if I could just start a political cooking show and talk politics while I'm making food. And specifically someone today, it would be, right? And someone specifically today was like, I want to see you chopping things while you're talking about politicians.
Yeah. you're such a conservative, even in your meat's red.
That's true.
The only thing would be different if we made it wouldn't have the green stuff there. It would just be the meat.
Yeah, no vegetables.
Yeah. And maybe paydays if it's a holiday.
I love it. I know. I next time won't be – I usually don't have vegetables, actually, because there's so many studies that show that they cause inflammation. But I didn't want my guests to think I was a weirdo by not having vegetables, so I put it on a plate for decor.
Throw a little green on there.
A little virtue signaling with your broccoli. That's good. Brianna, thanks for all that you do. Again, Fiverr family, go to BriannaMorello.com. Go to Brianna Morello on Rumble and give her a follow, because I guarantee there literally is no one doing exactly what she's doing in all of media. She is one of one in this space. We need to get behind her. We need to hit follow. We need to support, because we're 220 some days away from 2024 election, and she speaks more clearly than anybody in the space.
All right, Flavor family. My name is Avery Whited. I'm the daughter of David and Stacy. I'm just moving in, so I had to get an order from my pillow and get the things that I needed. So let's look inside. I got some my pillow towels, kitchen towels. I got some of their Giza sheets. Now, I've never actually been able to use them, but I've heard amazing things from my parents about them. And last but not least, something for Charlie. Hey, dog bed. All right, Charlie, let's go put this in the dryer and flip it up for you. Come on, buddy. Nice and warm and fluffy. Perfect for my little guy. Come here, Charlie. All right, if you want to get your own products, go to mypillow.com and use promo code FLYOVER to save up to 66% off.
Do your feet ache and throb in pain with every step you take every day of your life? Well, kiss those days goodbye with slippers from MyPillow.com. How about that flimsy, flat little excuse for a pillow that's nothing but 8 hours of disappointment, causing you pain in your neck every single night? You can wake up with nothing but butterflies and rainbows around your head with a MyPillow pillow. Those hard wood floors hurting your old bones? No more with a MyPillow dog bed. Are your towels worn thin, flimsy, more patchy than Joe Biden's memory? There's nothing better than absorbent towels from MyPillow.com. For all of these products and more, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for up to 66% off.
Come.